This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Have an article written by someone who wants to crank it up. He says it's gone too far. The ending of Prohibition, the rolling back of Prohibition, the legalization of what he describes as vice, says it's gone too far. It's an opinion piece from the Atlantic.
They should move to Indonesia.
It's a total prohibition in effect there right now.
Isn't that where they were killing people? They were like murdering drug dealers.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Just out in the street.
Oh, I know you're thinking of the Philippines.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe true in Indonesia.
There's a bunch of countries like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. But yeah, in the Philippines, they will just like execute you.
Yeah.
No need for a trial or anything like that. But if you want to comment, you can join us here, and the number is 603-283.
When the American government was executing them, it didn't require a trial either.
603-283-6160. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I got something real quick on the prohibition, and then I got something you guys might not have heard about these crazy balloons.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, the prohibition thing, the first two times the military was sicked upon the citizenry. One was just before the Revolutionary War, when King George wanted the Virginia farmers to grow hemp for his sails and his rope, and they wanted to grow tobacco because it was more profitable. So he sicked the lobster backs on them then.
Mm.
And the next time was the Whiskey Rebellion, when they cracked down on the Scott Irish up in the hills because they figured out they could get 7 bales of corn out in a gallon jug if they just turned it into whiskey.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Long prohibition. Long history. Yeah.
There's a series of books.
On these crazy balloons, this one that was shot down off of Dead Horse, Alaska. I just like saying that name, Dead Horse. That's a cool name for a town.
We could call it sadistic equine necrophilia, but that would be beating a dead horse.
Oh, goodness. You're getting too deep in the weeds for me there on that one, bud. This balloon was supposedly a fifth grade science project from somewhere.
Really?
And the teacher realized that it just blipped right off the radar. They were tracking the damn thing, and it just disappeared at the same time that this balloon was shot down. Now, the next one that was shot down over Lake Huron, they're claiming it was at the mercy of the winds. Well, they only give one little clip on the news, but they showed all kind of a squiggly track of it going all over doing hoop-de-doos and whatnot over Michigan. There's no way in hell that this thing was carried by the winds doing what it was doing.
Yeah, okay, and then apparently statements from some of the pilots that went up to take these things down was that they didn't they say something about that they weren't
no visible means of propulsion.
That was what it was. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. But the thing is, the first guy that tried to shoot it down missed.
But no visible means of propulsion. But they weren't acting like balloons would have acted, right? Wasn't that the other detail?
The first pilot popped off around it, and he missed. Can't even shoot down a stationary object. They brought him all the way out of Minnesota instead of...
When you say around, don't you mean a missile? Didn't they launch a missile and miss, and they don't know what happened to the missile?
Yep.
Yeah.
All of their stuff is built on heat-seeking capabilities, and it has got no motor.
Probably landed in Poland.
Now, I got a question for you. There was a fourth balloon, and I don't know where it was and where it was shot down.
I don't recall.
I don't know.
Have not been paying attention to that. I mean, to me, the whole Ohio explosion of the tankers off the train is way more important of a story than what has been happening with these government shootdowns. And also, not to mention the Seymour Hersh article that we reported on last week. And by the way, there's an update to that about the Nord Stream pipeline explosion that he... who was a longtime investigative reporter. He's in his 80s, and he's still doing investigative reporting, by the way. He says it was the United States. He's got an inside source.
Of course it was.
Yeah, well, we kind of knew that it was anyway. There was a lot of speculation that it was the U.S. Joe Biden basically admitted in February that they were going to destroy it before it was actually done. But he's got the inside scoop on exactly what happened. So to me, those are way more important stories. And, you know, that's the allegation, was the UFO stories were designed to distract people from hearing Seymour Hersh's bombshell, if you will, regarding Nord Stream. And the,
well, it was definitely a distraction. I just thought it was funnier than hell. Joe Biden's such a badass, he's got to shoot down a fifth-grade science project to prove his special.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you could do with a balloon that people wouldn't like, including dropping COVID-20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there could have been some kind of chemical up there, for sure.
Well, I mean, technically COVID-20 would probably be a virus.
Right.
It takes after its ancestors, but yeah, it could be a chemical. Right. It'd be very easy to sprinkle plutonium out of one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence that they were actually doing that, but it's quite possible that they were trying to figure out what the defenses were like and what would happen if they tried.
Didn't seem like there was much in the way of defenses. It didn't even get noticed, apparently, until it was, halfway across the country?
Well,
at least publicly?
That's maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. It, what happened is it got noticed by a civilian
mm-hmm.
who posted video of it. Now, whether or not the government knew about it all along, I don't know.
Mm. Let's go to Chuck. He's in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
You know what really pisses me off about this whole thing? About the whole reporting UFO or whatever?
What about it?
The whole chemical spill in people's backyards and everything like that. All these Republicans that sit there on their radio show and sit there and pretend to have a, like, oh, my God, what are you doing, Pete Buttigieg? What are you doing? They're the same people that would vote against every regulation that would ensure safety protocols to prevent crap like this from happening.
You know that the chemicals are already highly regulated, right?
Well, whatever. I find it quite disturbing because I live next to an industrial area,
mm-hmm.
and I don't, along with a waterway that goes into the ocean and everything like that, I find stories like this particularly disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that there's no answer because all of the people that have to do with the protocols and safety and everything like that are already bought off by the chemical companies that are hauling stuff up and down the rail.
Right. So how are you
having more people to buy off really wouldn't make a difference, would it? I mean, the government doesn't do anything to protect us. What it does is whatever's necessary to extract as much revenue as they possibly can, both publicly and privately, from us. So, you know, they're not going to protect us anything. They're just going to rob us blind while it's happening.
And then, you know what is even more disturbing? The cleanup cost. All the people that want to pretend like there's an issue here and go out there and get the cost from the government that's going to get the cost. It's the idiots in government that don't want to have any safety protocols in place that we should be pointing the finger at right now.
I mean, this
the
is
same people like Sean Hannity.
I mean, this is more of a liability issue, it would seem, than one of, like, regulation.
Well, usually when the government regulates something, they also limit liability. For example, there's a cap on nuclear accidents at $1.5 billion, or so it was at one time. I haven't looked it up lately. Well, of course, the problem is you can do a hell of a lot more than $1.5 billion of damages with a nuclear plant.
Well, I remember the one in the Gulf of Mexico, the big oil spill out there, BP.
Yeah,
15 years ago, whenever it was. Remember, there was a 75, I believe the cap was a $75 million cap on the cleanup. So BP didn't have to pay for that cleanup. It was the taxpayers.
Yeah, they socialized the liability.
And what's worse is the vaccine monkeys.
You know? There's no liability.
They were completely zero liability. Zero liability. They may have killed millions of people. We won't know for a decade. But they won't be paying.
See, here's the thing that you're missing, I think, Chuck, is that you
cronies.
You're correct in that you mentioned regulatory capture, where the people regulating the railroads are the people running the railroads, or the people regulating the industry of medicines are the people running the industry of medicines. So it's, you know, it's or medicines. It's regulatory capture, and that's the thing.
People that buy into government.
That's the thing that you can't avoid. So I mean, you can call for more regulations, but it's always going to be written by these people. These are the people that have the ears of the representatives and the senators and such. They're the ones that are plying them with the dollars and the favors and all of that. And no amount of shouting about it, no amount of demanding is going to make it any better. Mm-hmm. And all your regulations ultimately accomplish is they make it difficult for competition to come into any given industry because the existing.
I realized this when I was, I used to be involved in customs and immigration in that kind of field when I was in the U.S. Army.
Okay.
And I saw back in the day, like, if you started to inspect everybody's cargo coming in, just think about the impacts that would have on everybody that was trying to get the stuff into the United States.
Sure, it'd be a tremendous slowdown.
But in this case, we have people that are in the media, superpowers that guide people's decision making, sitting there talking about, well, why doesn't Joe Biden do more? Why doesn't Pete Buttigieg do more when they haven't voted for anything like that in their life? And they won't do it because of exactly the safeguards that we're talking about. They don't want that.
But the safeguards wouldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just political point scoring because the reality is if a different party was in power, then all the same things would be being said
by
the opposite people.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely true. Yeah. Chuck, thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. I want to get back to the prohibitionists in a moment, but since I brought up the cover. Cover up basically on the Seymour Hersh story. Did you guys hear about that? Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think we did. Not on Friday anyway. What can you give us a little bit of summary? Like what exactly happened?
Okay. And so Seymour Hersh, who is a longtime investigative reporter who like blew the doors off of like Watergate. I mean, this guy's been around for, he's been doing this for 50 years, right? Like this guy's got some incredible renown for investigative reporting. He's now in his 80s. He came out with a 5,000-word paper on what really happened with this Nord Stream explosion. You may remember in September of last year, the Nord Stream pipeline, which is underwater pipeline in the Baltic Sea, blew up. And it was like this big mystery of like, whoa, did Russia blow up their own pipeline?
Mystery.
And then in February of 2022, you've got Joe Biden speaking at a press conference where he basically says straight out that if Russia invades Ukraine, we will take it out, meaning the Nord Stream, talking specifically about the Nord Stream pipeline. And so they did.
Yeah, he, like, named it by name.
He did.
Yeah. The same thing happened. There was a woman speaking to a group of people, and she said, well, one way or the other, Nord Stream will not continue in service or whatever.
Yeah.
And the audience was like, well, how are you going to do that? And she, we're going to do it.
We have our ways, right?
We're going to lie about it.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Right, they haven't told the truth.
They lie about everything.
Yeah, so they telegraphed it in advance.
Yep.
The only thing they haven't done was, as nobody points out, actually claim responsibility for
it. They didn't confirm what they did.
At least terrorists have a pair of balls.
Right.
Well, other terrorists.
And so Hersh got himself an insider, somebody in either the CIA or the military, because apparently this was a, you know, multi-jurisdictional operation involving both the CIA and the military. And he talks about how they decided what to do early on, before the invasion. This was started back, he said, in December of 2021, the plotting for this. So this was all being plotted long before Russia decided to invade Ukraine. And then it was the way they operated this was they teamed up with the Netherlands military. And apparently every summer in this particular area of the Baltic Sea, there is some sort of joint military operations between, like, the Netherlands and some of the other European countries that are up that way, Denmark, etc. And they have these military operations where there's ships in the water, right? Like, they're doing divings and whatever other things that they're doing. And so they decided they were going to use that yearly time frame in the summer as the cover to send down, a special diving squad to go and put bombs on the Nord Stream pipeline in the midst of all the things that were going on. So they would have a reason to be out there, because they were there every year for the military activities. So that's when they laced the bombs down on the pipelines. And then the bombs weren't triggered until 3 months later.
Triggered
by a buoy that was apparently dropped from a P-8 Poseidon plane that flew down, dropped the buoy that was issuing a signal out of it. And that triggered the explosions.
I was really curious if that was what they did, or if they used they have subs that can do that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, they didn't want to have anyone in the area.
Well, with a sub, presumably they don't know you're in the area.
The Russians are monitoring underwater, so they wouldn't have been able to do that.
Well, yeah, I don't know how well that area is monitored or how much capabilities the Russians have to do that, but...
Well, according to the article, they have capabilities. So they couldn't just be seen, quote-unquote, right, in the water on the night of the explosion. But, of course, the plane was still seen dipping down from, 20,000 feet to 10,000 feet as it did something. It just wasn't known at the time what it was doing. Mm. So, but that's not it. That's not where the story ends. And, again, there's a 5,000-word news piece that Seymour Hersh put out about this. According to RT.com, Hersh says more Nord Stream bombshells are coming. The legendary reporter slammed mainstream media for ignoring his story. He's promised to reveal more incriminating information linking the U.S. to the demolition of the Nord Stream gas pipelines.
Those scumbags are just stenographers for the government.
Of course the mainstream media ignored it. They're working for the government. The government is actually paying reporters to go work at these papers in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden ordered the lines destroyed to prevent Germany from resuming purchase of cheap Russian gas, said Hersh in a post to his Substack page on Wednesday, which is interesting. A lot of these independent reporters are going to Substack these days.
Has there been any response from the Germans on this?
Good question.
Should be hot. Yeah. If they give a damn about their people, you know, if they're more interested in their people than keeping their various Epstein videos off, off the internet, then they should be doing something about this.
That's an excellent question. I have not heard of anything, but if you guys out there listening have seen that, give us a call and let us know.
The problem here is probably one of money and value, right? Like, what's the Russian relationship worth? What's the U.S. relationship worth? And
right now the Germans are purportedly on the quote unquote same side as the U.S. because they're both backing Ukraine by sending in tanks to Ukraine. So German tanks are going down to Ukraine and American Abrams tanks are going down there as well. So, this could definitely drive a schism between the German government and the U.S. government, and it would be interesting to hear if they've even acknowledged this story.
And people are already trying to get rid of the German government. There have been a number of apparently attempted coups in Germany.
You're talking about when they rounded those people up.
Yeah,
some months ago.
I mean, they claimed that they were white nationalists, mm-hmm. but they said the same thing about the Canadian truckers. So that lie's wearing out.
There is a lot of skepticism there, I think, things you should be skeptical about, just because of how often these governments lie and the media lies about what's actually going on. And if they want to destroy a group, they'll just use the word white nationalist or some other similar term, or terrorist or whatever. And it's like, you know, what is a terrorist? It's just, you know, it's one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist.
Hirsch, in a post on his Substack Wednesday, slammed the mainstream media, singling out the New York Times and Washington Post for refusing to, quote, run a word, unquote, on the pipeline story and for ignoring Russia and China's calls for an international investigation. Both papers, he said, published his exposés on the U.S. military's war crimes in Vietnam, but are now seemingly uninterested in, quote, national security or matters of war and peace. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Yes, this is Jim in Daytona Beach.
So, Jim, you're on the air.
All right. Answer a few things here. So the Germans are basically not willing to comment on this, which probably means that it's true. So if you go back about a year or a year and a half, the Germans were not in on this idea of standing up to the Russians. And there was no real confusion about why, because of this pipeline. They looked at that as a greater issue than, you know, standing up to the Russians. So the U.S. decided, well, we'll just take care of that and we'll get rid of that pipeline. And now all of a sudden the Germans are sending tanks and are involved because basically they have, you know, lost any reason for staying on the sidelines. So that's really, you know, my take on what has happened, and I have no doubt that the U.S. was involved. There's so much evidence they were involved.
Oh, yeah.
And the Germans are just staying quiet about it because I think they really have no choice at this point but to go along with the program.
Well, one of the things that made it obvious to me was at the time that it happened, the silence was deafening. They should have been crying about the environment and getting Greta Thunberg out there right. to get all irate and say the Russians had stolen her childhood, but nothing of the kind.
Right.
If anybody but the Americans had blown it up, it would have been the worst environmental disaster in history.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they would have blamed it on terrorists. They would have had the list of all the big terrorist groups that probably were involved in none of that happened either.
Good point.
There's just a tremendous amount of evidence that it was the U.S. And I think this kind of stuff just goes on. A lot of times we don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. This is maybe one of those rare times that we do get to see what's happening. And it's sort of... you know, that chess game that goes on three or four levels between allies when, you know, we think of these allies and say, well, you know, the Germans are on the same side as us, but, you know, when they're not exactly marching in step with us, then we will do things to make them so.
Thank you for the call tonight. Great points. Really appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. A little bit more on what the legendary reporter, investigative reporter Seymour Hirsch has to say. Again, he's kept a few things to his chest, apparently, about this whole Nord Stream thing. And he says more will be revealed. There's more coming up here. You can join us. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The search is over for the remains of a Chinese surveillance balloon shot down last week off the coast of South Carolina. Nearly 2 weeks after the balloon was initially shot down, U.S. Northern Command announced all remaining pieces are being sent to FBI's lab in Quantico for analysis. 22 firefighters are hurt, three seriously, after a fire erupted between two duplex homes on Staten Island. FDNY Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh said the three were pulled out quickly and rushed to the hospital.
They are stable while critical, but that they are going to be okay.
Fire officials said strong winds contributed to the heavy fire and efforts to extinguish the blaze. Terminal 1 at JFK Airport staying closed until at least tomorrow after a power outage. Officials say electricity is being restored to some parts of the terminal, but some passengers are still stranded. Dave Collins, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show. We're talking about the Nord Stream Pipeline Seymour Hersh, the octogenarian investigative reporter who's still on the job, still cranking out amazing coverage of stories.
Well, he better be, because none of the younger ones are on any job at all except sucking up to the government.
There's got to be some out there that are still doing a good job, but
there's a few. There's the guy who does Sovereign Media.
Ben Swan.
Dash guy, Ben Swan. There's actually Jimmy Dore, who's kind of a left-wing comedian.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he going to be at the anti-war protest this weekend?
Yeah. He's Sunday, one of the few leftists that's still anti-war, so kudos to him on that. He also was nailing it on COVID.
Oh, good.
He was telling the truth about COVID, and they hate him on the left now.
Even Bill Maher's been going off.
Bill Maher came along a lot later started doing it, but Jimmy Dore paved the way.
Yep, that's true.
He was Bill Maher's canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, so there are some, you know, outstanding personalities out there, but this guy's been at it for a very, very long time, breaking stories as far back as Vietnam. And I actually got his Substack pulled up here, Seymour Hersh. He's on Substack. And for listeners that aren't familiar, Substack is this website that is sort of portrays itself as being a place for independent journalists or anybody else with something to express, where they can have that expression supposedly without any kind of filters, without any kind of editorial in, you know, messing around with, you know, the content. And so that is what attracted Seymour Hirsch to it. I'll give you his own words as to why that is. But also Glenn Greenwald is another one to your list there, Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking of him too.
He's another one who cut his teeth in, you know, the mainstream media, places like The Guardian, for instance. That's where he was when he broke this.
He was one of the founders of The Guardian.
Was he? I thought he was one of the founders
of The
Intercept.
No, he was one of the founders of The Intercept. I'm sorry.
But he did work for The Guardian when he broke the Snowden story back in 2013, moved to The Intercept, and then that got corrupted, and then he ended up going to Substack as well. But here's a little bit more.
How does Substack work? Do you pay, like, a monthly fee for the whole site?
Not that I'm aware of. You pay per subscription. So if you want to follow Seymour Hirsch, there's a paid version of that. There's also a free version as well. So you can still follow the people you want to follow. You get their public posts sent directly to your email box. But if you want to actually subscribe to the person that you enjoy and support them directly, then there's a way to do that as well. So it seems to be working out. They've got a lot of writers on that site. Now, of course, it is still centrally controlled. Somebody runs this thing. It's still hosted somewhere. So in theory, it could be vulnerable to some kind of governmental targeting and takedown. But for what it is, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Anyway, I wanted to finish up here with the statement from RT, which, of course, is Russia Today. It's the Russian government-funded news site where they're reporting on this story. RT is covering the Nord Stream bombings, and they have been since before Seymour Hirsch came out with his piece.
And that's not surprising, considering they were more or less the victims
indeed.
Of them.
So they point out here that Nord Stream 1 and 2, which connected Russia and Germany under the Baltic Sea, were damaged in a series of underwater explosions last September. Hirsch, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, released a report last week blaming the U.S. for the attack and detailing how the Biden administration and the CIA planned the operation. It is a detailed report. The White House dismissed the allegation as, quote, utterly false and complete fiction.
Yeah, okay.
Well, then it must be true, because Biden never makes a true statement.
I mean, you know,
the professional liars say this is a lie.
This is kind of a funny thing, because if this was like a trial, you know, the president already admitted to it before he committed the crime.
He did, yeah.
And it's like, it's almost to a point where it's beyond a reasonable doubt. If
absolutely.
It's not, you know,
you
like,
know the guy
would absolutely be convicted in a case.
Well, I think we should extradite Biden to Russia and
have him
stand trial.
Well, there's a lot more than just Biden involved in this, but you know the actual plotting agents, the CIA and the military, who are the ones that did the dirty work here. You know, when they saw that clip of Biden actually just admitting to it or admitting the plot,
yeah, right?
You know, they just all facepalmed at the same moment.
You think they didn't know about that, though?
What do you mean?
I mean, well, it seems like something that people in the military would pay attention to.
No, what I mean is when Biden spilled the beans publicly in February that they were planning to destroy the pipeline, you know, these guys were like, oh my God, what did he just say?
Right.
he's just spouting off at a press conference, and he reveals what their big plan is. That's not the best, you know, the smartest move.
Didn't stop them from going through
it. No, they went through with it.
Though, did it?
The article backed up Moscow's repeated assertions that the U.S. had carried out the strike in order to prevent rapprochement between Russia and Germany while making Berlin dependent on more expensive American liquefied natural gas, because that's what was in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Germany halted certification of Nord Stream 2 in the days before Russian troops entered Ukraine, and EU sanctions throttled the flow of gas through Nord Stream 1 since late summer by impeding vital repairs. However, Hirsch told Germany's Berliner Zeitung newspaper Tuesday that the Biden administration feared Berlin would lift the sanctions and resume gas transit as temperatures dropped over the winter. But they lucked out so far, because apparently the winter, like it has been here, has been a little warmer than normal,
yeah,
over in Germany, so they haven't had to dig into the reserves as much as they expected. He asserted, quote, the president of the United States would rather see Germany freeze than see Germany possibly stop supporting Ukraine.
Of course he would. These people are all psychopaths.
He said further, there may be more to learn about Joe Biden's decision to prevent the German government from having second thoughts about the lack of cheap gas this winter, said Hirsch. He said, stay tuned. We're only on first base.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, a guy beating his wife, you know, and then, like, causing her to be fired from her job. And then she can't, like, she can't, the only thing she can do is, like, you know, continue the relationship. Because then if she doesn't, it's, she has nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where Germany is. They were getting gas from Russia. And, of course, they're partnering with the United States, but... the United States then cuts off their relationship with Russia, and therefore they're now dependent on the United States.
Yep, or China, or wherever else they get the LNG from.
And don't the chip fabrication machines come from Germany?
No, that's the Netherlands, I believe.
Yeah, what's that company? ASML or something like that? I think it's ASML.
Yeah, that sounds like it might be right.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Sydney on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live, Sydney.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. So you're talking about Seymour Hersh's article and the Russia and Ukraine thing. And I just wanted to bring up that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend on Sunday, there's going to be a protest for an event. It's sponsored by the National Libertarian Party. I believe it's in Washington, D.C. I first heard about it on Free Talk Live a couple weeks ago. Have you guys heard anything more about that?
No, it's still happening. I'm sorry, I forget the name of it, but it's happening, as you said.
It's the Rage Against the War Machine.
Thank you. Yeah, rageagainstwar.com is the website. It is happening on Sunday. So this Sunday, February 19th, the Libertarian Party in coalition with a new party called the People's Party, which is a left-wing group, from what I understand, has teamed up for this, and they are going to be in Washington, D.C. What did you have to say about it, Sydney?
Well, just in preparation for the call, I looked at this press release that the Libertarian Party put out, and I guess they denounced one of the speakers and tried to distance themselves from that person. Mm-hmm. But also they mentioned at the end of their press release that it's very important to make coalitions between different groups that, although they may disagree a lot, if they can come together on such a significant issue as anti-war, it's definitely worth it. So I totally support this. I won't be going myself, but if anybody could get out there and just show your support, you know, take over the mic if you can, voice your opinion. I'm very upset about the Ukraine war. It's about to be 1 year. Mm. The State Department put out a release about a week ago saying all Americans in Russia get out. So I think that they're going to escalate this coming up on the anniversary. They are putting out propaganda that Ukraine's winning, Ukraine's holding the line, Ukraine's taking back territory, Russia's losing hundreds of thousands of troops. I'm personally not buying it. I think that they're trying to set up Ukraine to take the fall or be the firewall for Europe and just start something much larger than what it really needs to be. There's no need to have war. The United States and Russia have been going at it since probably 2014 at least. You know, they toppled the government. The United States government toppled the government in Ukraine. The United States government is supporting the rebels in Syria. There's just so much going on between the United States and Russia. If you remember the whole Russian collusion for the past 5 years, that turned out to be nothing. I think that the mass media is in the government's pocket or the deep state's pocket, and they're just deceiving all the American people. And, you know, there's on your show during the breaks, there's a funny onion little snippet, which is that, you know, the American people are one news article away from just saying, hell, let's go to war. And I think that, you know, the mass media is always like that. We're always just one event away from going to war with whoever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say anything else to add to that.
The military-industrial complex. I mean, I don't know. I think most of your listeners probably are totally aware of everything I'm saying, but, you know.
Well, yeah, they might not have been aware of the protest going on in D.C., and again, it's rageagainstwar.com. To whatever extent that it's worth attending, you know, it's never a bad thing to meet people, and I think that's ultimately what the benefit of most of these protests is that you get to network and you get to meet people, and that, I think, is a benefit. I don't think the politicians are ever going to see a protest and say to themselves, well, I guess we won't go to war now. People are having a protest about it. But
For that to happen, you got to bring torches and pitchforks.
Right. Thank you for the call tonight, Sydney. And of course, they're prepared for that sort of thing in Washington, D.C. They have tanks and other things that will make it a very bad time. But someone who has some experience with anti-war matters is Seymour Hersh. and I've got his Substack pulled up, and I just thought this was interesting. Why did a man who is in his 80s, he's like 85, he's about to turn 86 if I recall correctly, why did this guy who spent decades doing this investigative reporting decide all of a sudden to jump into this independent website called Substack and start publishing and you know, release this bombshell of a 5,000-word news story about the Nord Stream pipeline explosions? And I wanted to share...
Well, all the young ones have been busy having a tantrum about Trump for 6 years.
And I wanted to share what he had to say about it, because I think it's actually really interesting. So here's what he says. I just love this guy's demeanor. He says, I've been a freelancer for much of my career. In 1969... I broke the story of a unit of American soldiers in Vietnam who had committed a horrific war crime.
The My Lai Massacre.
That's the one. They were ordered to attack an ordinary peasant village, whereas a few officers knew they would get no opposition, and told to kill on sight. The boys murdered, raped, and mutilated for hours, with no enemy to be found. The crime was covered up at the top of the military chain of command for 18 months, until I uncovered it. I won a Pulitzer Prize for international reporting for that work, but getting it before the American public was no easy task. I wasn't an established journalist working for an established outfit. My first story, published under a barely existent wire service run by a friend of mine, was initially rejected by the editors at Life and Look magazines. When Washington Post finally published it, they littered it with Pentagon denials and the unthinking skepticism of the rewrite man, which I presume is an individual at the Post who just took Hirsch's work and just chopped it up or added things to it or whatever.
Editor.
He says, I've been told my stories were wrong, invented, and outrageous for as long as I can remember, but I've never stopped. In 2004, after I published the first stories about the torture of Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib, remember that one?
Oh yeah.
This was the guy, apparently.
They were spreading democracy. That's how you do that.
A Pentagon spokesman responded by calling my journalism, quote, a tapestry of nonsense. What was it they just said about his report about the Nord Stream pipeline? Let me reverse 10 minutes here. We go back to the RT coverage. The White House dismissed his story as, quote, utterly false and complete fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
You know, it's funny considering the government is made up of politicians and liars.
Liars.
Yeah.
Or you repeat yourself.
You repeat yourself.
Right, I am literally repeating myself.
The Pentagon spokesbureaucrat who commented on Abu Ghraib at the time also said I was a guy who, quote, threw a lot of crap against a wall and expects someone to peel off what's real, unquote. I won my 5th George Polk Award for that work. I put in my time at the major outlets, but was never at home there. More recently, I wouldn't be welcome anyway. Money, as always, was part of the problem. The Washington Post and my old newspaper, the New York Times, to name just a few, have found themselves in a cycle of dwindling home delivery, newsstand sales, and display advertisements. Yeah, he's right. The newspaper business is dying.
Yeah, and the government's now funding it, too, so...
CNN and its offspring, like MSNBC and Fox News, battle for sensational headlines over investigative journalism. There are still many brilliant journalists at work, but so much of the reporting has to be within guidelines and constraints that didn't exist in the years I was turning out daily stories for the Times.
Truth is treason and the empire lies.
He says that's where Substack comes along. Here, I have the kind of freedom I've always fought for. I've watched writer after writer on this platform as they freed themselves from their publisher's economic interests, run deep stories without fear of word counts or column inches, and most importantly, spoken directly to their readers. And that last point for me is the clincher. I've never been interested in socializing with Pauls or cozying up to money types at the self-important cocktail get-togethers, the star-effing parties, I always like to call them. I'm at my best when I swig cheap bourbon with the servicemen, work over the first-year law firm associates for Intel, or swap stories with a junior minister from a country most people can't name. That's always been my style, and as it turns out, it's the ethos of this online community as well. What you'll find here is, I hope, a reflection of that freedom. The story you will read today, which is the one about the Nord Stream pipeline, this is what he published just before publishing that, is the truth as I worked for 3 months to find, with no pressure from a publisher, editor, or peers to make it hew to certain lines of thought or pare it back to assuage their fears. Substack simply means reporting is back, unfiltered and unprogrammed, just the way I like it. And I thought that was a really, really nice endorsement of this platform and the fact that this particular investigative reporter who has broken so many of the most meaningful, just shocking stories about the U.S. government and its, you know, the things that it has done in secret over the years, I thought really does lead a lot of credence to this. So kudos to whoever it is that's running Substack for apparently staying out of the way of the people who are using that particular platform. I can see you're gritting your teeth over there, Chris. You're a critic, I imagine, of this whole thing.
I'm not so much a critic of Substack as I am cringing in the idea that there is another centralized party controlling the strings ultimately, whether or not they are actually doing so
yet.
Right now.
Yeah. There is the possibility that something could happen here. That is what happened with Glenn Greenwald over at The Intercept, an organization he founded.
Yep.
And then a board of directors got in charge, and they decided that, you know, they were going to take things in a direction that he didn't foresee coming, and he got so frustrated with it, he quit The Intercept, which has got to be a really frustrating thing to, you know, to go through, to see something that you created be subverted into something that is the opposite of what your intentions were. But yet we've seen it happen so many times when a board of directors gets a hold of something.
Oh, yeah.
It screws things up.
Yeah. I think about this with shareholders, and there's a company. I mean, this was a long time ago, but Coral back in like the 90s, who they put out a distribution. Well, back in those days, they were competing with Microsoft, and they had WordPerfect and CorelDRAW and basically all the software, and they didn't have an operating system, and so they put money into developing an operating system based on Linux and GNU. And basically, at the end of the day, they invested in something, and the shareholders freaked out because the company was losing money. Well, it wasn't really losing money. They were investing, right? So they were spending money. But they pulled out. The CEO pulled out because of the shareholders. And ultimately, you know, nobody knows what Coral is today.
Mm-hmm. I recognize it, but...
You recognize it being sold, but you haven't heard about it in 20 years.
No.
And that's because you know, the guy... They still exist. But the guy did the right thing. He made the investments for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But then he pulled out because of the shareholders. Mm. So,
do they produce anything now?
I think they still do Paint
Shop. Nothing that people use, right?
I've used Paint Shop Pro in recent years.
Oh, they do Paint Shop.
You might be right. They might still have Paint Shop, but it's not. It's certainly not. They were bigger than Microsoft.
They were a behemoth once upon a time. Yeah.
The one thing they were missing was an operating system, and they ported all their applications to Linux, or they were going to. They got about halfway, I think, and then the shareholders freaked out, and CEO backed out, and they lost all that money, and they've never come back from it.
Yeah, I get the critiques. The downside, of course, if Seymour Hersh were to just launch his own blog, is he may not have the same exposure, right? So to some extent, being on platforms, as much as we value decentralization, and we do, and I would suggest that Hersh should probably have his posts on a blog, on his own blog, but there's nothing wrong with putting it on Substack, because it can help him monetize, right? It can help him expose his content, as they point out here.
So, I mean, this is a technological problem that needs a technological solution, and there just isn't a good one right now to centralization.
To bring an audience to a decentralized platform?
Yeah, I mean, what we need is something more like cryptocurrency combined with, you know, something probably like Substack, but closer to Bitcoin, right? So think about a blockchain.
Well,
they had that.
They had Steemit.
Did
you ever use it?
Steemit, yeah, I can't remember. Was Steemit not centralized?
No, it was blockchain.
Blockchain, okay.
There's a website which was an interface to the blockchain, but anyone could build a similar site should they want to. So,
sure. So that might be a better solution than Substack. I don't know enough about Substack, so I don't want to be overly critical of Substack.
Steemit did kind of catch on for a few years amongst the Liberty community. It had a lot of buzz for a couple of years over at Anarchapulco. Mm. People were posting there. I was posting there for some time, and I just got tired of cross-posting over to Steemit. It wasn't – there was a time when it generated some revenue, but that kind of fell off, and I just got tired of it, honestly. So that's why I quit dealing with it. But they point out here over at Substack that apparently about 40% of new free subscriptions and around 10% of paid subscriptions come from other Substacks, meaning that, you know, people that are just floating around looking for related items or whatever, other people to write, you know, to read on Substack. So, I mean, for what it is, it seems like it's pretty good. I suspect they have rules. There probably are some rules. It's just we haven't heard. There hasn't been a scandal yet.
Here's the thing. If you don't have rules and you operate any kind of website, mm-hmm. the government will shut you down if you don't have some limited, at least
but
some
at least
rules.
Your banker's going to shut you down. The bank's going to cut credit card access
or
something.
There's definitely some rules. Yeah. A truly free system, a solution, it simply doesn't exist as far as I can tell.
And it won't until there's a way to obfuscate who's running it.
Mm-hmm.
Or decentralize it. I mean, maybe.
That's obfuscation.
Well, you could potentially know who's running an individual node, and because it's all spread out,
but
it doesn't
you don't know who's running the organization.
There could be a decentralized autonomous organization, right? Then you would have no idea.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And then you wouldn't know who to arrest, who mm-hmm. to torture, who to murder.
I mean, it's, you know, everything is complicated because ultimately you could potentially go after the developers, right? You know, depending on how
which
much
they did when
they
it came to Tornado Cash. Right?
Sure.
Those guys. That guy's still in jail in Europe, last I heard,
really?
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is why operational security matters, especially, like, people don't think about it normally, like, as a developer, but if you're going to do something that's really radical, it's going to
change
the system.
Yeah,
you need to think about your operational security. Yeah. And you know, the one person that seems to have done that?
Satoshi Nakamoto,
exactly.
And also the Monero guy.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. Who may be the same person.
Could be.
There are theories out there that Monero was just, you know, Bitcoin 2.0.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of examples of people doing operational security properly. Mm-hmm. They exist, but it's not a whole lot.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. So again, Seymour Hersh, the investigative reporter, he's in his 80s. He's still going strong, and he says he's got more to uncover about the Nord Stream situation. If you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Plus, we'll get back into the Prohibitionist we started the show out with earlier tonight. Got a little distracted from it. He's you know, going to make the argument that things have gone too far with repealing prohibitions in the United States. We'll see if he has any decent argument coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.